Acts chapter 2 is where we'll be this morning, and I want to get right into the message for today. Great to see everybody here, and I want to be an encouragement to all of us and a challenge to us. I get to offer awesome opportunity to pastor and travel and preach, and I love my life, and I'm thankful for that. But I'm concerned about something that's happening in our churches today, and hopefully we can get encouraged by the thought that is today. Several weeks back, we had another anniversary of 9/11. 9/11 is a tragic day in the history of our country, and many in this room are actually too young to even remember it. Many of them were not even born when 9/11 happened. But how many of you that are old enough to remember know exactly where you were when you heard about the tragedy of 9/11? That's what I thought. It's amazing how quickly, when someone brings up 9/11, you can remember exactly where you were. In a passage here, the Bible uses the word place here in Acts chapter 2, verse 1. And the reason we remember the place when we heard about the activity of 9/11 is because of the event that was reported to us. In other words, the place is remembered and etched in our minds because the event we heard about at that place was so powerful, you'll never forget it. And that can happen for the good and the bad. In fact, that's what I want to talk about today a little bit. I want to challenge this church because I think in America today we have a serious problem with this, in that churches all across America have just become a place and not an event. You see, the world is full of events. There's events that happen all the time. Every year in February, there's what's called the Super Bowl, the greatest sporting event they call every year. More money is spent on the Super Bowl than any other thing as far as advertising goes. Millions and millions of people globally watch this event. And every year, the Super Bowl moves its location, but people don't care where the location is. The place is not the issue because people go for the event and not the place. Every 4 years in this world, there is a global competition called the Summer Olympics. I know there's Winter Olympics too, but I'm more of a Summer Olympics guy. I haven't been born in Florida, amen. Summer Olympics, and by the way, thank God America always wins the most gold medals in the Summer Olympics. Can I get an amen right there? I know all the medals are made in China, but bless God, I'm glad we still win most of the medals, amen. And every 4 years, the Olympics travels the globe. They move to a different country, a different location. Right now as we speak, even though we're 2 years away from the next Olympics, there is work going on. I believe it's in Tokyo, Japan is the next Olympics. And there's buildings taking place to get ready. The last Olympics were in Brazil. And every 4 years, people don't care about the location. They go for the event. And there's lots of places on this planet that I don't care to go to. And I'll give you three of my least favorite places to go to, and then I'll talk about some of my favorite places. But one of them, and I say this respectfully, is the doctor's office. I love doctors. Don't misunderstand me. If you're a doctor, I thank God for you. But if you notice, every time you go to the doctor's office, nobody looks happy sitting in the waiting room. Especially if there's somebody sitting there with a white mask on their face. It's like that poor person sitting all by themselves and like 50 people on this side of the room because nobody gets excited. In fact, I've experimented with it before. I've walked into a doctor's waiting room and said, "Hey, y'all, what's happening?" And literally have them look at me like I was crazy. It's like, man, that guy's here for mental issues. Can I get an amen right there? The dentist's office is another one I'm not a big fan of. I love dentists. Don't misunderstand me. A very necessary profession and a blessing. And I'm thankful for dentists and how they take care of our teeth so that we can eat all the sweets that we're going to eat tonight and all that good stuff. And I thank God for dentists. I'm amazed at how you'll notice again as you walk into that waiting room, nobody's overly excited about going to the dentist's office. Because a stranger puts on some rubber gloves and puts their hands in your mouth and then carries on a conversation with you. Can I get an amen right there? They ever understood that? They all know I'm a preacher. Every time I go in there, they put their hands in my mouth. "Hey, Pastor, how's it going?" And they expect me to answer. I go, "Wah, wah, wah," and they actually understand. I think half of dental school is trying to figure out how to understand when someone's speaking to you with their hands in your mouth. Can I get an amen right there? All right. But my least favorite place on the planet to go to is the library. I know some of you are shocked. Now, don't misunderstand me. I love books. I read a book the other day while I was at the airport. Finished the whole book. Books are awesome, but I'm not a big fan of the library. My children are homeschooled, and several years ago, my daughter came to me and said, "Daddy, I need to go to the library and pick up some books." I said, "I'll take you." My wife was busy that night, and me and my daughter got in the car, drove to the local library here in Jefferson City, Missouri, and we got out, we went in, and she went her way to get some books, and I went to the biography section like I always do, and just strolling around there, hanging out, and then about 20 minutes, we met back in the car, and she was just laughing when she got in the car. I said, "What's wrong, baby?" She goes, "I am never going with you to the library again." I said, "What? Why?" She goes, "I could hear you the whole time, Daddy." I said, "I didn't say one word." She goes, "It doesn't matter. I could hear bang, 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 dropping stuff." I'm like, "What?" She goes, yes. And I guess it's, there's something intimidating about a librarian. Is there a librarian in the building? I don't want to offend anybody, but it's just fact. Librarians always sitting there behind the desk, and it's like if you breathe, they look at you funny. It's like, can I take a breath? No. I can't live without it. Then go outside. You know, they just, and then they always hide behind the desk. You look around, oh, she's not here. And all of a sudden, she just comes out like a dinosaur. And you're, just looks at you like, good night. I mean, just terrifies you, right? I mean, so I get nervous at a library. When you're ADHD like me, squirrel, you know, I mean, you get very nervous at a library. You get very nervous at a library. So there's lots of places I don't care to go. There's lots of places I love to go to. I love to come to church. I love to take my wife out to a restaurant on a date. I love to travel. There's many places I could go on to. But let me tell you something right now in America, there are hundreds and hundreds and thousands of places in America that are called church, but very few of them today are having an event. You see, 2,000 years later in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2, we are still talking about this story where about, according to the Bible, in Acts chapter 2, verse 40 in there, it says about 3,000 people got saved after the Holy Spirit of God showed up. And 2,000 years later, we still talk about it. Oh, it was at Jerusalem. It was a neat place. But the reason we talk about it is because on that day, Peter stood up and preached, and 3,000 people got saved. You see, everywhere Jesus went, place, an event took place. And I want to challenge you. We got visitors here today, church members here. Hey, let's do our dead set best and work as hard as we can and discipline ourselves enough so that Bible Baptist Church is not just a place, but rather an event. And when God shows up, it's an event. Every time in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John that Jesus showed up, an event. The Bible always told us where he went. The Bible mentions the places he was. The Bible tells us where he was standing, where he was teaching, where he was traveling, where he was preaching. But we don't always talk about the location as much as we do what happened. Why? Because Jesus is an event-making God. Can I get an amen right there? And we live in a society today where the world is constantly having its events. They have their red carpet activities. They have their big college football games. They have their big NFL games. Thousands upon thousands of people, if not millions of people, are gathering in stadiums in America today to watch players play that they'll never meet, that they'll never get a phone call from. And they get excited about those events. They gather in big places called stadiums, and they'll cheer their team on. And they only have a 50% chance guaranteed they're going to leave happy after it's all over. They'll spend hundreds and hundreds of dollars. Talk about a return on investment. I mean, if I'm going to go watch my favorite team play, I want to hope, I want to make sure they win. Can I get my money back if my team loses? But can I tell you something today? We will throw hundreds of dollars in parking and hot dogs and even beer, God help us, to sit in a stadium and cheer our team on, hoping they win. Because, listen, the event is about what it's all about. And today I'm telling you, I'm challenging church. And the Bible, your pastor has preached this very message all across America. Why? Because I'm tired of our Baptist churches in America just being places, just being buildings. It's time to make them an event again. It's time to see God make him an event. So the question today is this. Is Bible Baptist an event or a place? Is your marriage just an event or is it a place? Is your home just a place or is it an event? I'm not saying it's always high, strung, crazy and all that, but I'm simply saying our families, our homes, our marriages, our churches ought to be a place where we come and know that God might just show up and that God might do something and God might just do some miraculous things. Listen, I preached a few weeks ago on how I'm not going to quit. And the reason I don't want to quit, here's why I don't like to quit. I don't even want to think about quitting. I don't want to miss out on what God might do today. I don't want to miss out on what he might do this Wednesday. I don't know what he's going to do next week. I want to be a part of it. I want to be there when it happens. I want to see firsthand and taste what God can do and will to. And church, I'm challenging you. I'm calling the church members of Bible Baptist Church out today. I don't want this to just be a place. I don't want this just to be a building. I don't want it to just be something that the zone approved of. And we've got this massive building on the side of the highway. Make it an event, praise God. So maybe five quick things to help make sure we make it an event. And I'll be done. Number one, there has to be an assembly. It all starts with an assembly. There's always an assembly. Look at real quick. Look at verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Simple question. How many of you think today as the NFL took the field, if they looked out in those stands and nobody was there, they'd be really excited about playing the game? I love the game of football. I played it high school and college. And every time I stepped out of that tunnel and ran on that field, it was always such a joy to look up in the stands and see people you knew and even people you don't know cheering you on. I guarantee the NFL players would not be as motivated today if the stadium was empty. Let me tell you the problem with America today is we're not assembling in churches like we used to. America is a much better country when people assembled in churches. There's an assembly time and people ought to come back to going to church again in America. Church doesn't hurt America. Church helps America. America was a better country when church was a priority. Man, now we've got everything taking the place of church. We've got co-ed soccer games. We've got my turtle lady's first piece of lettuce activities and events like that. I mean, we got. Remember back in the day when you just had a kindergarten graduation and a 12th grade? Now you got kindergarten graduation, 4th grade graduation, 8th grade graduation, my turtle lady's first piece of lettuce graduation. Somebody help me right there. I mean, it's crazy the things we schedule to get us out of church. Hey, can I still preach the Bible in this place? Help me now. Assemble. Assemble in churches again in America. Number two, there's an atmosphere you got to bring. An atmosphere is important. Look at there, verse number two. And suddenly there came from heaven, sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak in other tongues, and the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men of every nation under heaven. And now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together, were confounded. Listen, the atmosphere was different this time. I tell you one of the big problems we have in our churches today. The atmosphere is not what it should be. We need to get a good buzz in the church to build again in America. I'm telling you, sometimes when I preach across the country, and even here, I get nervous watching some people. I'm like, man, I got my cell phone just in case. They haven't moved in 15 minutes. He might be dead. And then finally I see a little movement. I'm like, oh, thank God he moved. He's still alive. Come on now, help me now. Hey, this ain't a dentist's office. This ain't a doctor's waiting room. Come on now, this ain't a library for sure. I'd have been kicked out of the library as soon as I started preaching. Amen, you know what I'm talking about? Hey, it's okay to get a little excited in the house of God. You heard about the church, the pastor was getting preached, he got excited, and a man had a heart attack, and the EMT showed up, and they drugged four people out before they found the right man. Somebody say amen right there. The average church in America is giving people little glasses of vinegar as they come in. Here's your vinegar. And they come in church all bitter and sourpuss face, all disgruntled. I see this all the time in churches. I can do it for 20 seconds because some of y'all been doing it for 20 minutes. Help me now. What are you saying, preacher? I'm simply saying, why does the world get more excited about their events than the Christians in America? Because God just might show up today, and it's time to get excited about the possibility that God might pick Jefferson City, Missouri to do the greatest revival or miracle in the history of mankind. I believe it can happen, and that's what keeps me going, church. Bring in an atmosphere. Tomorrow night I get to take my wife on a date. We missed our date Friday night because I was in Cleveland, Ohio. When we go on a date, I promise you, I'm not just going to sit there and be an idiot all night. Well, I'll be an idiot, but I mean, I won't be boring. I'm going to bring an atmosphere. I don't take her to McDonald's either. That's where you take five-year-olds. You don't take your wife to McDonald's because the atmosphere. You pay for the atmosphere. You go to those nicer restaurants where you sit down and it takes longer than 5 minutes to get your meal. Somebody say amen right there. The atmosphere makes a difference, church. And it's on us to be assembled and then to come in with an atmosphere and be an atmosphere maker. Too many of us allow people to control our temperature. Listen, I want to be the kind of guy that comes in the room and I make the temperature happen. Somebody say amen right there. I want to bring the heat. I want to be the one that comes in the room and says, hey, I'm excited about being here. If y'all ain't, that's your own problem. I'm glad I'm in the house of God. I'm glad I was born in America. I'm glad I've been saved. I'm glad we could sing a while ago. I'm glad the youth choir sang about the cross. Boy, I love being saved. I love being American. I love being fill in the blank. Hey, being excited. Life is a gift. You only get one gift, one shot at it. We got to take advantage of it. Number three is the most important one. Number one, there's an assembly. Number two, there's an atmosphere. I'm hurrying. Number three, we've got to get amazed again. We have to get amazed again. I want you to look at verse number seven. And they were all, how many? All. Who? All. Amazed and marveled. Look at verse 12. And they were all amazed. Amazed. We got to get amazed at God again. You know what I've learned about Americans? We are so impressed by people who can do things we can't do. I've used this illustration before, but it's worth saying again. For example, here's a man. He puts on silk pajamas, picks up a round leather ball, dunks it on a 10-foot rim, little garbage can that hangs 10 feet high, and we say, you're amazing, here's $20 million. Help me out. Or you got someone like Stephanie Curry, you know, she shoots threes real good. And wow, you're just so amazing, you're shooting a three, here's $20 million. Help me out. Actually, he gets $40 million a year now. Do you understand a basketball player in the NBA gets $40 million a year while our soldiers sometimes live on government help? Something wrong with a country like that. Everybody okay? Or how about this one? This guy, he puts on real tight pants, shoulder pads, deflates footballs, throws them all over a field. Wow, you're amazing. Here's $20 million. Here's my favorite of them all. You are so good at being fake. You are the fakest person I've ever met. You are so good at reading a script and being fake. Here's $20 million. Actors and actresses. You know what's amazing? Actors and actresses get older, and you can only do so much plastic surgery before the barn really can't, paint won't help the barn anymore. And athletes, eventually their knees go bad. Michael Jordan, I grew up watching Michael Jordan. He was amazing. But guess what? He can't play with the young guys anymore. I'm learning that now. 43, man. Thank God I'm big. That's about the only reason I can survive with these young 18-year-old pups when I go preach at these camps anymore. I mean, you get humbled. Age humbles you a little bit. Life starts to change. And Michael Jordan can't dunk like he used to. His knees are bad. His back is bad. And guess what? Can I tell you something? Those people were created by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And why, pray tell me, are we being amazed by the creations of God rather than the Creator Himself? Can I tell you, there's a lot of things in this world that amaze me. This right here amazes me. I can't believe just 15 years ago, this wasn't even a thought. When I was pastoring this church 15 years ago on my 5-year anniversary, I would have not even thought about this. Now I can do everything on here. I can work from anywhere in this world because of this incredible technological device that man invented. But God made that man and gave him the mind to do that. I'm simply saying, it's time to get amazed at our God again. God does amazing things. He parted the Red Sea one time. He can walk on water. He took some fishes and hush puppies and fed the multitude. But most of all today, He saved me from a burning hell. I'm going to heaven someday. I've been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm never going to touch hell. I'm a child of God. I've been redeemed. I've been justified. What? I've been justified. I've been sanctified. I've been glorified. I'm going to heaven someday. Why? Because Jesus saved me. Get amazed again, church. Get amazed. When's the last time you got amazed by God? Every time you take a bite of food, that's a miracle. It comes into your body. Your body takes it and changes it so you can function and live. Your eyes, the vision. When you woke up this morning and you looked and you saw the eyeball. Just study the eyeball. God created that. Think about cellular regeneration in your body. How millions and millions of cells go through changes on a regular basis. And God continues to help us live and function. And how our heart, our voluntary and involuntary muscles. I could go on and on. The skin. I mean, God has done some miraculous, amazing things. And then He gives us the season, summer, fall, winter, spring. God has been amazing. God is just phenomenal. I mean, God has never tired. God has never been sick. God has never been discouraged. God has never been depressed. Everything's all right in my Father's house. Why? Because it's time to get amazed again at God. When's the last time you walked outside and looked at the stars and the moon and you look out today and see the sun raising up like it does every single day? We take it for granted. I read recently that the sun went black. If it went dark, everything on this planet would die within 3 days. Everything would die on this planet. But yeah, we take it for granted. Every day when I wake up, the sun is there. The sun functions. The sun gives us energy. And listen, can I tell you something today? Churches in America have got to get amazed by God again. When's the last time you got amazed by God? Number one, there's an assembly. Number two, there's an atmosphere. Number three, there's amazement. Number four, there's assurance at this place. I'm almost through. Stay with me now. There's assurance. What does Peter do? He preaches. Did you hear that? I still think the churches in America need preaching again. He preached. The Bible says there was a big stir. People were like, what in the world is going on here? We've been here many times, but this time it's different. What is going on here? And there was a buzz in the air. And look at verse 14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, here's what he says, lifted up his voice. That means he wasn't quiet. He wasn't whispering. Peter said, I've got something to say today. And Peter, the one who denied Jesus 3 times, Peter stands up and lifts up his voice and says, ye men of Judea and all you that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. And what does he do? He preaches Jesus for a while. Look at verse number 22. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. And he preaches about Jesus.
Jesus. He preaches the crucifixion. He preaches the resurrection. And can I tell you something, church, today? When you come to this place, it's a place of assurance. We had young people today singing about the cross that assures you that everything's okay because of the cross. The choir sang about being in His shadow. We heard the song, Blessed Be His Name. We were able to testify about the blood today through song. What are you saying, preacher? Church is important because when you come and it's an event, you're reminded that everything's okay in my Father's house. You're reminded that you are on the winning side. When you read the news media and you hear all the negative stuff out there, it's easy to get discouraged. But can I be the bearer of good news today? Everything's okay, church. God is in control. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is the God of the universe. And He knows your name. You're going to be okay. That's assurance right there. Amen. Assurance. When it's an event, there's assurance. There's assurance too. Number five, and I'm done. When there's been an assembly, when there's been an atmosphere, when there's been amazement, when there's assurance, then there's action. Action is then required. Action is then expected. All right, look at Acts chapter 2, and I'm almost here. Everybody doing okay today? Some of our visitors are like, whoa, I'm telling you, we want this place to be an event. So, people don't preach like that anymore. I hear that all the time. Heard it Friday night in Cleveland, Ohio. That's sad. How come we used to preach like this and we don't anymore? Somebody tell me why. And anybody with a logical mind will tell you which was better. Which America was better, the one 50 years ago or the one today? I know the one 50 years ago had issues, but kids were a lot different back then. Schools were a lot different. Flying on an airplane was different. You see, when God's morality and authority is in control, things are just better. We've asked God to leave us alone, and I don't blame the world, I blame the church. Because the churches have just become a place, a building, a sign. And God pity us pastors in America. If we take the good, hard money, earned money of the American people and just make this function as a place. No, sir, no, ma'am. I want this to be an event. And church, we've got some events going on. We've got an event tonight at 6. We got an event next week, Youth Explosion, Kids Crusade. We've got Saturday Spectacular this Saturday. Those are events. And guess what? I can't wait to be a part of them. I ain't missing them. Well, you have to be here. You're the pastor. No, I have to be here because I don't want to miss them. I'm just being honest. I was like this before I became a pastor. You said, you always been crazy? Thank you for the compliment. Yes, I have. Now, here's the action, and I'm done. Watch this. The greatest event you'll ever experience is the event of salvation. It starts there. And the activity that God did for you to be saved 2,000 years ago when He died on the cross and lived again 3 days later. Listen, I grew up 18 years of my life in places. Fill in the blank, I was there. Presbyterian, Methodist, Lutheran, Baptist, we went. I went to many different kind of church buildings and places. I mean, I was there. Some told me to get sprinkled. I got sprinkled as a baby. Some told me to get baptized. I got baptized 3 different times. But at 18 years old, I finally set foot in a church that was an event. Can I tell you something? There was about 35 people in church that morning when I got saved. God doesn't always need a big crowd to show up. And on July 17, 1994, I didn't understand the gospel here. I understood it here. And I realized what Jesus did for me. And I understood right here. And I got saved. Jesus Christ became my personal Savior. And that's the greatest event in the history of mankind. That's the greatest event in my life the day I got saved. And because He did that for me, I want to be active for Him. Look at Acts 2, and I'm almost through. And by the way, today, if you're not sure you're saved, we'll give you a chance to be saved in just a little while. This church is pro-salvation doctrine. We want everybody to hear this online, watch this on YouTube, watch it on Facebook. We want everybody to know Jesus will save you today. If you do not know for sure, beyond the shadow of a doubt, that you're going to heaven someday, you can be saved today. Not because of what I think or what anybody else in this church thinks, but because of what God says in His Bible. Look at verse 41. And then they gladly received His word, were baptized, and the same day were added in the family about 3,000 souls. I'm through. Stay with me now. And they continued steadfastly, verse 42, in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers. They're getting busy. They're active.
Verse 43, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. Verse 44, and all that believed were together and had all things common. Verse 45, and they sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And verse 46 again, and they continued daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house to eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Look at verse 47, and praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. When church becomes an event, there's an assembly. There's a different kind of atmosphere. There's a group of people that are still amazed by God, not really impressed by people. I used to get impressed by celebrities back in the day. I've met many celebrities. I've sat on the airplanes with guys that are coaching high-level football right now. Got pictures of them. I met a Hollywood actor, a well-known Hollywood actor recently in an airport. But you know why I wasn't impressed by them? Because a couple hours before in the morning when I was alone in that hotel room, I talked to the creator of this universe. And you know what I found out? Actors and actresses and celebrities and all these people that we think are all that, they got to wear deodorant just like we do. Their breath stinks in the morning like mine does. They got to use the bathroom like I do. Yeah, I know that's crude, but we all got to use the bathroom. Can I get an amen right there? I mean, they're just human beings like us. God created them. When you talk to God in the morning, you ain't all that impressed with people anymore. You'd be all right. So watch this. They praise God, having sold. Watch this. So you got assembly, there's atmosphere, amazement, you get assurance, and then you get active. Bible Baptist Church, this is a message I wanted to at least let our visitors know. If there's a church in town that believes in church being an event, not just a place. So visitors, I want you to know that. And if it's not for you, we love you. We want you to come back. If it's not for you, I'm sorry you feel that way, but I want you to know I'm going to do my dead set best that this is going to be an event. Visitors, we want you to know this is going to be an event, not just a place. Church members, your pastor's calling you out today. Don't come here like it's just a place. Don't treat this like a doctor's waiting room or Walmart. I didn't even put Walmart on the list because we've got too many Walmart employees in here, but that's a little taste of Hades. Can I get an amen right there? The only place on the planet that has 50 aisles and two cashiers working. And they make you stand 15 minutes to buy two items of goods. Thank God for e-commerce, bless God. I order my Walmart stuff now, and it shows up at my front door. Y'all, how many of y'all smell what I'm stepping in right there? Come on, help me now. Come on. Come on, Stacy, fix that. 50 aisles and only two cashiers? Come on now. You're like upper management now, man. Fix that. I'll never forget. I was at Walmart one day, and it was bad. It was like 10 people deep, two lines, 50 cashiers. I actually said, hey, man, the manager came. I said, hey, I'll work the cashier right now for you to help you out. He laughed. Nothing changed. I wasn't being funny. Listen, church, we got to get active. I don't want this to just be a place, church. Bible Baptist Church. If we expect God to show up, then guess what? It will be an event.
Yeah. Gospel story. It's the anthem. Lamb of glory. A sinner was lost, but now he's been found. It's not a new age revision, but it's the old time religion. It's the old gospel story, the wave of the cross. It's not a new age revision, but it's the old time religion. It's the old gospel story, the wave of the cross. It's the old gospel story, the wave of the cross.